Shalom, everyone. We pay our salutations to the divinity within each of you, to the 22nd celebration of the yearly Feast of Tabernacles. These are the days which God has demanded to keep holy, as revealed in chapter 23 of Leviticus in the Holy Bible. And now let us take a few minutes, a few moments, to be still, quiet our minds, and bring God to the center. All thanks to the Father. Each year, we focus on a different seal in the greatest sign. And these seals or messages are then meditated on, practiced, and observed as we follow the path to God, the eternal divine path. This year, we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for the 22nd year. We have completed 3 cycles of 7 years each. 7, symbolizing the 7 seals of the greatest sign and the eternal divine path. It has been prophesied that 7 truths would come to humanity. These 7 feasts are according to the calendar of God. The Feast of Tabernacles is the last one of the year, making it the 7th. Previous feasts and holy days are usually quiet and contemplative. However, the Feast of Tabernacles is a joyous celebration of God's greatest energy on the earth. No one goes to the Father except through the Christ, the 7th angel, Maitreya. God is with him, and it is he who reveals everything for the salvation of humanity. For more information about the feast, read Info Essays 1, Tablet 14, Feasts and Holy Days of the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles is preceded by the Feast of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets. After the Feast of Trumpets, in which we announce the Feast of Tabernacles and the return of Christ, God, to earth, we keep the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement is spent in repentance, contemplation, and spiritual practice, in order to purify ourselves to be worthy of God's presence at the Feast of Tabernacles. So during these next 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, we will focus on God and glorify Him. We will be a community of light during these Feast of Tabernacles. We will celebrate 1 seal of the greatest sign each day, and the 7th seal is always celebrated on Saturday. We will perform spiritual practices such as meditation, chanting, dancing, doing the reminder, prayer, study, etc. We are a community together, and we will be a community of light, the children of light. The schedules for this feast are posted on our website. However, at this point, I would like to pause and introduce Nor so that he may take a few minutes and give further information and announcements regarding the feast schedule.
Shalom, everyone. Checking my sound. How am I sounding? I'm going to go over the schedule real quick and make sure everyone understands all the different portions of it. And there were a few pieces that were actually finished about 20 minutes ago. So some pieces no one knows about, and we're going to talk about them right now. So if you look at the first day, you can see that the schedule starts out with an hour of service and meditation. And then after that, we have an hour of yoga. And if you have a yoga routine that you're used to doing, or you're used to doing yoga, then you can do it your own way, however you'd like. This is just an hour set aside to do yoga. However, if you'd like some guidance, Eunice has made some excellent, excellent yoga classes. An hour-long yoga class. There will be one for men and one for women, since the recommended asanas are a little different for men and women. The one for women is not up just yet, but it will be up by tomorrow morning. And you can see that there's a link from the yoga section in the schedule to go to those classes, and they can be played from the website, and they're really excellent. So if you want some guidance for your yoga, or you're not used to doing yoga, then please take a look at those and use them. And that's what we'll be using every morning for the yoga. And then after the yoga, there's a half an hour of Tho reading. Then we have the breakfast, service, and rest, and then we have an event. And the event is different for every day, but there will always be an event from 9:30 to 11. Then we have lunch. We have the reminder from 11:50 to 12 MST every day. Then we have the second. Then we do, you know, lunch and such. And then we have the second event from 2 to 3:30 MST PM. And that'll also be a different every day, but there will always be an event then. Then we have Pilates from 4 to 5 p.m. MST every day. And again, Eunice has made an excellent guided Pilates class that we can use, which is linked from the website, that everyone can go to and use for themselves. Then we have half an hour of Tho reading, another hour of service and meditation. We have dinner. And then from 7:30 to 9 p.m. MST, we have free-form reading on Pal Talk. And you know how before in the feast we were doing a whole lot of readings during the day. Now that's moved in the evening when we'll do our free-form reading at night. And so that's the basics of how the schedule works each day. The only thing that really changes is what the events are going to be. And those events can be found on each day. Everything will be broadcast on Pal Talk except for the two live lectures. The two lectures by Eunice and the one lecture by me, which will be on GoToMeeting. Other than that, I just wanted to draw your attention to a few final things. Everything else is pretty self-explanatory. On Saturday evening, on day four, we have uploaded the movie that we're going to watch at the mission. It's a compilation made by us here of all of the wisdom from the Kung Fu TV show. And it's actually quite nice. It has a lot of relationships to the mystical paths and a lot of great truth. So that's what we're going to be watching. And there's a link to it, again, from the schedule. So if you'd like to watch that with us, then you're welcome. And that's mostly everything I wanted to say. Just the new things that had not been discussed before were the yoga and the Pilates in the morning and the evening, and how there are classes available online to watch. And one final thing, which is that for the lectures, Eunice's lecture and my lecture, there is a link on the schedule for these lectures, and if you click on it, it'll go to an outline of what the lecture is going to be about. So if you're interested, or if you want to know if you'd like to attend, then please take a look at those. And that's it. So I'll pass it back to Tahira now. If you have any other questions about the schedule, please type them in text, I guess, or email them to us, or message me after. All right, thanks, God. Here you go, Tahira. Salam.
Thanks, God, Noor, for the good God information. Sounds like a wonderful schedule, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to it. So this year, we will be celebrating the first seal, Awakening of the Spiritual Forces. This seal relates to all the mystical paths and religions on earth, which include Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Sufism, Christian saints, and any other path that the goal is to have a direct experience with God, know self to know God, and to be still and know that I am God. 7 is the number of mystics. Noah was a mystic. God commanded Noah, who brought the first seal. We read in Tho in Holiest One, Tablet 21 through 23, and the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Genesis 7:1. Noah was a righteous and perfect man. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Genesis 7:2. We can see here that God is concerned even for the unclean beast, because their existence is also necessary for creation. They are a part of the evolutionary process. The teachings of Noah to the new generation and his example became the base for the religion of the new human. Later on, the essence of these teachings was preserved as the base of the religions of humanity and spread all throughout the earth. When you look at the greatest sign, you will see the I Ching, which represents the dual nature of all things as positive, sattva, and negative, tama, in the universe. It also represents the spiritual powers in the universe. The I Ching sign represents a unit consciousness. There is a dot in the middle of the I Ching which represents the unit creative force, mind, of each unit consciousness. The I Ching sign is shown in a horizontal position. The horizontal line indicates passivity, still under the influence of the tamaguna, or not being awakened. This horizontal symbol can be compared to a person lying down. It is a pose of passivity, and most probably he will fall asleep. Also, the I Ching is representative of the mystical paths on earth. Any mystical path like Hinduism or Buddhism, mystical Christianity, Kabbalah, and the Jewish religion, Sufism and Islam, or any religion or study that relates to the mystical understanding. A mystic is someone who meditates or has a personal relationship or experience with God. He is someone who awakens his spiritual forces. He is someone who has a really deep faith. So as we can see, there are many mystics in the world, because each religion has a mystical path. The Far East philosophies are called mystical path because they have so many aspects in them. It's explained in Tho in the Holiest One, Tablet 23, that the new generation started to build altars and burnt offerings to the Lord. This new generation lost its direct contact with God. However, Noah still had this direct relationship with God. He set a symbolic example for the other humans of sacrificing. So these teachings of Noah to the new generation and his example became the base for the religion of the new human. Later on, the essence of these teachings was preserved as the base of the religions of humanity and spread all throughout the earth. This is the base of most of the mystical paths existing. Eventually, some of these teachings were written down as the Vedas. In their refined form, they became the Vedanta. In the Far East, from this knowledge combined with many other discoveries and absorption of many parts from other religions, a body of knowledge was formed to which all religions of the Far East and the mystical paths in other religions are related. These philosophies and practices are to awaken the latent spiritual forces and understanding in the physical, mental, and spiritual levels. This covers all mystical and psychological teachings all over the world. to know laws such as karma, reincarnation, samskara, or the other teachings such as maya, three gunas, yoga, Sufism, mystical Christianity, and mystical Judaism, etc., and the philosophies such as in the Vedantas, Upanishads, and many spiritual stories from the Far East or other parts of the world about these related subjects, which help in better understanding the rest of the teachings of the greatest sign. So we can say that any philosophy, practice, or technique which helps a person to become attuned to his or her own spirit and to realize its oneness with the universe as a part of the whole can be considered as a part of the awakening of the spiritual forces. There was a teaching of Buddha where he picks up a handful of leaves and asks, "Are there more leaves in the forest or in my hand?" To which the pupil replied, "Of course there were more in the forest." Buddha then said, "What I am teaching you is the amount in my hand, just the essentials, enough to liberate your suffering." We can remember that when Buddha was telling his followers, "What I am teaching you is the amount in my hand, just the essentials." So the teachings of the mystical paths, the first seal of the greatest sign, can be thought of as a handful of leaves. But there is more. As there are more leaves in the forest, so there is more teaching to understand through the greatest sign. So if one truly wants to know God, they will come to know themselves first by awakening their spiritual forces. They will be following the path of the mystic by knowing themselves, and they will begin the path of the first seal on the greatest sign. And again, a reminder that Maitreya, God is with him, will be live on Pal Talk to answer questions about this new revelation sent by God on the dates of September 23rd, 26th, and 27th in the room All Religions Unified. It is indeed a blessing to have Maitreya, God is with him, with us for these live sessions. He will be clarifying these teachings, and we ask that you prepare your questions and send them to the mission at fotquestions@maitreya.org. Also, we will have a talent show on Tuesday, September 28th, and everyone is invited to share a talent. So let us know how you would like to participate. Again, all are welcome for the sharing of this feast. And now, let's have a few testimonies and sharing of those who love this mission. I will now release the mic, and whoever would like to be first to give a testimony, just take the mic. Shalom, all thanks to God for this beautiful beginning of the feast.
Shalom, everyone. I don't mean to interrupt the testimonial time, but to hear her talking about Maitreya reminded me that I had a few more things to say about the schedule. Sorry to skip it down here. So let me just say a few last things, and then we can get into the beautiful testimonials. The last few things I wanted to say are that on day 6, which is September 27th, Monday, in the morning for the event, we will be having a community service time. And locally, we're going to be picking up some trash around our neighborhood. And if you're not with us at the center, if you could find something of community service to do in some way at your area, that would be great during that time. And I also wanted to say that on day 7, which is Tuesday, September 28th, we will be going on a trip to some local mountains for some meditative time and to do the rosary. And if you have some place like that you could go to in your local area at that time, there will be no events for that day. That's our main event for the day. So if you have something to do at that time similar, that would also be great. I also wanted to quickly make sure everyone understands about the morning readings. It says Tho reading, the base, universe and man, and the essence. That's for the morning readings from 7:30 to 8 in the morning. And I wanted just to make everyone understand that these three books in Tho are not one after the other, but they all relate to the mystical path. So once the base is finished, we will move on to universe and man. And once universe and man is finished, we will move on to the essence. And the last thing I wanted to say is that we've made the schedule very intense this year in the hopes that it'll really get a lot of people very godly and high and have some experiences and things like that and just be really, really one with God. And we understand that some people may not be able to keep up with it. These are guidelines, you know, if you can, then they're going to be fantastic and they'll really help. But don't push yourself too hard. This is also true for the yoga and the Pilates. Don't try to follow Eunice exactly and as he's doing it if you're not used to it, because he's really very experienced and you'll hurt yourself if you try too hard. So take it within your comfort level, especially for people over 60, similar to how it's not required to fast on the Sabbath. If it's necessary to take some rests instead of doing some of these things during the schedule, if you're trying to follow it as close as possible, that's, you know, absolutely. So these are just guidelines, and hopefully they'll help a lot of people. And that is really it. So please let the testimonials begin. Salam.
Oh, Salam again. It's Tahira. I was going to say perhaps we should have each one of you raise your hand, because we might be waiting one for the other who's going to speak, and that hesitation might take up more time. So whoever would like to be first to give a testimony, just raise your hand, and then we can release the mic quicker. Go ahead, Eunice. I think you had your hand up first, and then Kiyosha.
Salam, everyone. I hope you're having a great time starting the feast. All thanks to God. Hopefully it will be a great feast once again. A little bit of my story coming to the mission. It was very exciting. After studying many other things, and just in fact ask God what is life, ask for answers. After returning from United States to Turkey, getting my education, asking these questions, had a little bit of a mystical experience in meditation, and that just directed me to the website. I was just amazed with all the truth that was revealed. I probably spent maybe a straight day studying the readings, and it was very exciting. All my life was a kind of like a search, not knowing that I'm searching, but something is missing. So all that was finished when I found the website and then get connected with the mission. And after getting connected, of course, it was a starting of another phase, another story. And I think it has been around 5 years now that I'm with the mission. And I thank God every day for that, because now that we know the tribulation is getting even increasing in its level, I find out that God has given us everything in the teachings for our salvation individually and establishing communities' life and salvation collectively. So thanks God again, once again. It has been a great learning experience, and still is, of course. And I'm looking forward to the kingdom of heaven getting established on earth and communities light all over the place. So thanks, God, once again. And I hope you will have a great Feast of Tabernacles this year. And looking forward to hear all your testimonies. Thanks, God, and Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. I think Tahara said it was okay for me to go ahead next. And good sound. Thanks, God. You know, we're sharing our testimonials right now. For those of you that maybe aren't familiar with the opening of the feast, Tahara gave a beautiful welcome to this year's Feast of Tabernacles. And now we're sharing a little bit of testimonials about the feast and the mission. For me, I was just thinking, I remember when I was very young, I was always attracted to different religions and things like that. And I remember I even got in line behind a whole bunch of church kids, and I wanted to go with them on the bus wherever they were going because they had such a spiritual quality about them. And my mom said that I always had this expectation of something wonderful was going to happen. And when I found the mission, I know what that expectation was. It was the expectation that something inside me knew that the Messiah was here. And it's so much more than that, so much more than I ever expected to come in contact with. And it deepens in me every day, this mission and Maitreya's teaching, and which God's teaching is just so incredible. Understanding that parts of his body were lost and in darkness, and this mission is the way to heal it. Following the eternal divine path is the way to heal on every single level. It's just so incredible. And the Feast of Tabernacles each year is a culmination of just studying and striving to follow these teachings and the path each year. And it's just a wonderful point of stillness and rest that just is just such a beautiful way for everybody, every community, every person to just share together. And, you know, I know I don't get to be out at the mission this year, but I'm really excited. I think there's a lot of neat things scheduled, and I think it's going to be a great feast over the internet. I have such a wonderful feeling about it. And I look forward to being with all of you and the Spirit of God with all of us and just enjoying this feast. Shalom.
Thanks, God, for the beautiful testimonies, Kiyosha and Eunice. I'll release the mic again for the next person that would like to give their testimony during this time. Here we go, Nora. Okay, great.
Shalom, everyone. I don't want to repeat everything I said last year, but I was pretty thorough last year, so I have to if I want to talk about my story. I want to say that I approached the mission like I've my entire life has been focused on the brain, kind of. Like I grew up to be an intellectual in the fullest sense. I didn't do sports or anything. I did debate, you know. So it's always been brain for me. Like not so much intuition, not so much heart, mostly brain. Mostly rationality and logic and stuff like that. So the mission had to convince me that way, that it was the truth. It was not, like a lot of the other people you hear giving testimonials, such as Eunice and Kiyosha, they talk about how they had a mystical experience, or they just knew intuitively that this was it. And I can't say that happened to me. Actually, I rejected it for several years before changing my mind. And so it's different for me, but it goes to show the flexibility of the mission, because it was able to convince me just as powerfully as them through like a Vipra standpoint, and through, you know, after going to high school and college and getting all caught up in this this logic and stuff, that it was still able to convince me completely that it is the truth. And so it really does apply to all different types of people. and everyone can approach it in their own way. So you know, I've researched, like, I don't know, I had to research all about, like, the Baha'i faith and the background and know as much as I could about it before I was totally convinced that, like, everything that the mission says about the Baha'i faith is true. There's no question about it. Like, they don't even know who their real prophet is in a lot of ways. So it makes sense that God would say it's not perfect. And it does have a lot of truth, but there are a lot of strange things that it says also, like, and it's just fascinating anyway. And I had to read and do my research to figure that out. And they can't even, we still can't get the whole Bayan, you know. It just can't seem to be found, the whole of Bob's teaching, and et cetera, et cetera. So, like, that was all clearly true. You know, everything that was prophesied came true. There's no question. And then I had to research an Andamarga and learn everything about that and try to figure out and make sure that everything that was there was true. And it was. Like, there's no question, you know. And I have not been disappointed at any point that I've researched. You know, all the hours I've spent, I have never once, like, found something that was not true. You know what I mean? Maybe it took a little while to understand. Maybe it needs a higher point of understanding. But definitely, like, there's no point at which I can say, like, well, you know, I get most of it, but not this part. It's all true. And I wanted to say one final thing, which is that I think the mission, that there are a lot of people in the world right now that are sort of addicted to, like, escaping, kind of. I have a personal experience with this because I was really into computer games before I started joining with the mission, and it's sort of, I became addicted to it, basically. It's sort of like it was an escape from the world because the world didn't really make sense, I guess, or something like that. But anyway, I was totally obsessed with it, and I truly believe that if I had not discovered the mission and found it to be the truth, that I would probably be that way for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? There's nothing compelling in the world that'll get people away from that if they don't find a reason for life. And some people are able to find a reason in, like, family or career or something like that. But there are a lot of people that even that doesn't seem to prove anything to them, or it doesn't seem really long term. That's how it was for me, and it felt like since nothing mattered, I might as well just waste my time playing computer. And there are millions and millions of people that were just like me, and we need to get the mission to these people. Like, without a doubt, there's so much creative energy that's being lost in, like, fantasy worlds, and I think one of the main reasons is because they don't feel like they have something worth doing in real life. And there's actually a documentary about this where a person was addicted, and he overcame it because he realized that he enjoyed achieving things in real life more than on the internet. And if we can get the mission to these people and make them see the vision, we'll have suddenly, like, 11 million, 50 million people that are suddenly willing to do something that, you know, it's not like they're slackers or a waste, you know, want to waste their time. I just don't think that they feel like there's anything else worth doing. So these are the kind of people that I think the mission will really speak to. Just the way it spoke to me. So I think that's it. And thanks, God. So.
Thanks, God, Nora, for that beautiful testimony again. It's like you say, you know, sometimes those that have been in the mission for many years have more or less the same testimony, but there's always something more, because each year, each day, actually, you know, there's always something that goes with the teachings of the mission. And so it's very important to be open to that. And I see another hand, so I'm going to release the mic to Divine.
Oh, salam, everyone. This is Sarah, and I really don't know what I'm going to say, but I did want to say something because my heart is so open tonight after that opening service that we had. That kirtan was just beautiful, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. And, you know, I've told my story so many times, but I think during the year, there's ups and downs. The Feast of Tabernacles is so high, and it's so beautiful, and you really feel like you're in your essence. And then sometimes during the year, there's some really difficult times, and you might not feel as connected. And I think you always have to remember how you came to the mission and what you received. I know myself, I was living in this meditation house, kind of like an ashram, And I became very disillusioned with what they were teaching. And I prayed like I have never prayed before. I prayed so earnestly to God. I was just like, please, please, I need to know what you want me to do. And my treaty came to the center. And that's when I had some spiritual experiences of seeing him in my third eye and feeling a tunnel of light between him and I. And I didn't even know who he was. I had never even met him or talked to him. And that was quite incredible for an intellectual person like me to be seeing somebody in my third eye. And when he showed me the greatest sign, I've said this before, I had no idea what he was talking about. It was a discussion of the different religions on earth and why there are all these different religions on earth and how there's only one God, but there's a reason why these different religions are here and that he's here to unify and let everyone know that we can get along. We don't have to keep fighting because have different beliefs or different ideas or different cultures, that we are one people under one God, one creator. And I really didn't know what he was saying, but I saw that the greatest sign was beautiful. And I saw that that was an answer to my prayer. And so I think during the year, you always have to remember how you originally received it and never lose sight of that, because it's easy to lose sight. And just one other thing I wanted to mention, and that's the wisdom of Maitreya. It's like infinite. It's amazing. Like, you might just mention one little topic or ask one question, and then this huge answer comes out, and you could be thinking about it for years about what that answer is. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. And in the satsangs, you read one line and you know, you're off. You're in the rest of the universe with just reading one line. So I just wanted to say salam to everyone. It's great to see you all. And thanks very much. And thanks, God.
Thanks, God, Sarah G, for that testimony. Purely from the heart. Who else would like to give a testimony? I'll release the mic. I'll be happy to give a testimony. Sarah G, I don't know what I was going to be saying either, but I know that the mission's teachings, I was just amazed at the simplicity of the truth of the teachings. And having searched and sought other religions and feeling a oneness with everyone, sort of like Kyosha said, she always had an interest in all the religions, as Nora mentioned also. I think because in our hearts we knew that there just could not be just one religion that takes everything into its own and we only follow one religion. So everything just makes so much sense with Maitreya's teachings, and we continue learning. Nora also touched on an important subject with the kids of today, and how their energies are so intense, and to see those energies intense with all the activities of electronics and things going on today, that, wow, what a, can you imagine if everyone is that intense with the mission and the teachings? And another thing is that I think the mission is the perfect example of teaching others by example. You know, we hear that, you know, parents even say to their children, don't do as I do as I say. Well, in the mission, it's do as I do. We have to set examples. That's what the communities of lights are all about. And I feel that they're so important, and it is the way to teach is by example. So, again, we all work on ourselves using these teachings so that we can work together and go together, all together in God. And anyway, I just love the mission for all these years since I've met Maitreya in 82 or 83 in Toronto. And it is a struggle, of course. It's not an easy path. It's not for the faint-hearted, and but it's the only path as far as I feel. So anyway, I'm so blessed to be a part of the mission of Maitreya and to be here to share these teachings with others. So if there's anyone else that would like to offer their testimony or one line or two lines, just raise your hand and I'll release the mic. Or I'll release the mic and just take a chance. Maybe someone will just pop up there and give their testimony. Well, I just thought of something really quick. I could see this visualizes bumper sticker that, or some stickers or something that says, "Mission on Maitreya. The search ends here." Great, Ma. Take it away.
Shalom, everyone. I'm another one who has given testimony many times before. That's a good one, though, Tahara. The search ends here and begins here, too. I found Maitreya back in 1982. I'd been searching for Maitreya, for the right Maitreya. And I had seen by the prophecies, I was very much into prophecies at that time, that the prophecies were being fulfilled. So I knew the Christ was in the world. It was just a matter of finding him. And so anybody who mentioned Maitreya or the Christ or emergence or anything of that nature, I would check it out to find out what it was all about. And then it was either the end of 1982 or the beginning of 1983, one of my friends mentioned that he found a Maitreya in New Mexico and that he had written a holy book. And I said, "That's him." And he said, "That's who?" And I said, "That's the Maitreya. That's the Christ." And he says, "That's impossible. It can't be." And I says, "It might be impossible for you, but for me, it's possible. He's the one I'm looking for." Well, he said, "I ordered his book. Would you like to read it when I finish with it?" And I said, "Yes, I would love to." And the book was The Holiest of the Holies. And when I received it and began to read it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing in that book. The answers to so many of the questions I had from childhood were answered right there, and I had never received answers from anybody. I had asked questions, but I had never received the answers. And when I read that book, those questions were all being answered one after another, and I just read that whole book. It was just amazing to me. And my journey has gone from there. I'm now here in New Mexico and working with the mission here. And it's been a total joy all the way through. And, of course, I hope that everybody would at least check out our website and see what's there. Read The Holiest of the Holies. Read the prophecies. Check it out. And see, if you don't come to see that the Christ truly is in the world and he has a message from God for humanity that he would like everyone to read and follow, and that it is the answer to what humanity, all the plagues that humanity has called upon themselves, the answers are on our website. And also, I hope you don't mind me mentioning again, because some people came in a little later and maybe didn't hear it, Maitreya will be live here in Pal Talk. We hope you check out the schedules for the Feast of Tabernacles and see the dates when that's going to happen. And if you have questions regarding this mission, then send your questions in to questions@maitreya.org. And then come on those live days and hear your answers. I'll go ahead and stop at this point because I'm sure there are others who want to give their testimonies also. Shalom, everyone, and thank you.
Thanks, God. Rada, go right ahead and take the mic.
Shalom, everyone. I just want to add my voice to others. I am in the mission since many years now, and when you come to the mission once, you cannot go out of it. Even if there are many ups and downs in a year, I am still here. I receive as others some signs, some experience, and I cannot deny those experiences. So I'm still here, and it will be a very nice feast, as usual. Shalom to all.
Okay, it's been a great welcome to the feast together, and if there are no more testimonies, then I guess we can end it here, and if there's anything that anyone else wants to add, if not, I'll give the mic up to Noor, who might want to add something in closing. And let's celebrate this joyous Feast of the Tabernacles together in God's way. Shalom.
Shalom. No, I don't really have much more to add. Everything has already been said. Just, it's going to be great, and come to the Satsangs with Maitreya on those three occasions, and if you have questions for him, send them in beforehand so that they will be answered first, and so that Maitreya can give the best answer possible. And if you have any questions about the schedule, again, send us an email, and enjoy. And thanks God for everything. Shalom.